Van Nuys, California, first time caller. Hey, David, go ahead.
Hey, George, how you doing?
Okay, Dave.
I've only been listening to you since Monday, so I kind of feel like a kind of a newcomer. But I think that happens for a reason. So this is a trip. I think this is going to knock your socks off.
Okay.
I'm a student at UCLA. We went up to Big Bear in my classmate's single engine prop plane. We were coming back along the coast, and we were just shooting the shit or talking about things. Sorry about that, George. We're near San Luis Obispo. This happened on Wednesday. All of a sudden, the only thing I can describe it as like the profile view of like a 747 with like the windows. It looked like a 747 was kind of flying in front of us. And all of a sudden, all of the windows like became very bright light, and it engulfed the whole sky, the whole plane. I remember we kind of yelled some profanities, and my buddy tried to, I guess he tried to move out of the way, and then I have no memory of anything that happened after that. The next thing that I remember was being on the tarmac at Van Nuys Airport.
Jeez.
And me and my buddy, we looked at each other. We had no idea what just happened. We taxied the plane. We parked it kind of just in awe. And we were approached by the Van Nuys Police Department or the airport police, and they took us to a back room, and we kind of told the police what happened. They brought in the air traffic controller, who said that he had just gone for a bathroom break, and there was nothing on his radar that any planes were supposed to land, and they both wanted to know how we had come to be on the tarmac.
They had no idea, did they?
They had no idea how we came to be on the tarmac. Me and my friend have no memory of how we came to be on the tarmac.
It's like you were plopped down.
Exactly. Like we were kind of just put down on the tarmac. We were not moving. We were stationary. When my memory came back from it, we were just stationary, both sitting in the plane, like we were just hanging out. I was detained for one day. Wednesday to Thursday, and on Thursday I talked to an agent Halleck. That's H-A-L-I-C. He was a men in black, kind of like a men in black type of person. Black suit, a white with black tie and everything. We gave him a statement of what had happened. He told us basically not to, talk about this or not to cause like panic or fear. Type of thing, and that's it. He didn't say anything else. He just kind of took the report. He recorded our statements, and I was let go. And the first person that I thought about calling was you,
David. That's an incredible story of eyewitness testimony, being in a plane, and then of course no recollection of what happened afterwards. But to me, the most fascinating part of all of this, beyond what had happened to you, was the fact that the air traffic control folks were baffled that you were there. That is truly amazing. Let's go to Henry in New York. Welcome to the program, Henry. You're on the air with us. Go ahead, Henry.
Hi, George. Hi. I only started listening to your show a few weeks ago because one of George Knapp's guests happened to mention a friend of mine in group with some other people as being the epitome of physics. And yet, I can't seem to communicate with George at all about anything. I almost feel like I end up with some parallel universe doppelganger.
Do you have his email address?
Oh, yes. In fact, I work with him for a number of years on a kind of news story in Vegas for a while.
Ah, okay.
And anyway, I just want, and one last thing, I wanted to tell you an interesting story because I've had a lot of strange experiences in my life. And
what's the weirdest?
Well, I live in a small college town in a very beautiful rural area. In fact, it's so pretty here. John Lennon almost bought a house on our street. And some years ago, many, many years ago, actually, there was one of the houses was rented to a bunch of college students. And a woman had come home to her house across the street. They were having a party there. College kids were having a party. A woman came home, found a guy naked, hanging from her chandelier in the living room, slashed head to foot.
Jeez.
And this is the story I heard from a friend of mine whose boyfriend was at the party because he got...
This isn't one of those great myths?
No, this actually happened. And so some years later, a good friend of mine, and we were both like good astrologers, or into, you know, we understood occult things. And a friend of his had bought the house, and he used to let my friend go in there and use a hot tub. So we said, hey, let's bring a Ouija board in there, right? So we bring the Ouija board in, and you know how, like, you know, when you put your hands on a Ouija board and it starts moving, and you look at the other person and go, you're moving it, right? You
know? Exactly. Everybody blames the other person, sure. Yeah.
And, of course, we would do that to one another, being friends, but we were also pretty serious about this, and we both knew that. So the first thing that happens, it goes 666.
Uh-huh.
And we said, are you the devil? It goes, yes. All right. So we said, where was the guy killed in the house? And it says, yes. And it says, where was he killed? And it spells out in Latin and English, Ponte to Hell, which is bridge to hell, right? And I said, because I've had some years of Latin, so I knew bridge was, you know, Ponte. And I said, well, I noticed there was an open tread staircase in the living room, right? And, besides that, the first thing, when I walked in, I looked for the chandelier. I said, you know, where's the chandelier where the guy was hanging from? And I noticed there was a ball chandelier over the dining room table, but that was only like about 4.5 feet off the ground. I said, you can't hang from that. And there's one in the corner, and that was pretty low. And I said, geez, I don't see any chandelier you can hang from, right? So we said, is it the stairway? And it said, yes. We said, he was killed on the stairs. It said, yes. We said, what step? It goes 6. And then we said to it, we said, will there be any nuclear war? And it said, yes. And we said, when will that happen? When will it start? And it said, tomorrow. Well, tomorrow happened to be the day when Prime Minister Begin resigned from as Prime Minister of Israel. And mm-hmm. then, you know, the next month, the Marines in Lebanon were killed, you know?
Yes.
And that's when things start to escalate in the Middle East, you know. And another question we asked was, will there be any assassinations? And it said PLO, you know, that's all it said. And anyway, so sometime later, I think I was walking, I don't remember the exact circumstances, I was walking around, you know, down the road, and I ran into another neighbor. And I either started telling her this story or she started telling me something, because she says to me, well, you know, the woman who owned that house, who found the guy, her brother was the president of the American University in Beirut in Lebanon, and he had just been assassinated.
Oh my gosh.
Local newspapers. And I started telling her the story because she knew the woman pretty well. She
yeah.
said, I know her pretty well. You know, I remember when this happened. And I said, well, you know, I was looking for the chandelier in the living room, and everything's so low. She said to me, it's not in the living room. Well, it's kind of in the living room. She says, it's on the upper floor above the stairs. And I went back there, and sure enough, on the, you know, how you have your lower floor sheetrock, and then above the stairway has to have a, you know, an opening going to the upper level. Right above the 6th step was a ball chandelier. And that's where, you know, so not only did this entity or whatever it was that claims to be the devil, you know,
help. It was there.